Amen. I didn't pick out any songs tonight that go along with the message, but we had fun with the songs we had. So tonight's message was given by Aaron, and I was able to study even with all the distractions and conflicts I had, especially on yesterday. Our word tonight is glorify, and we know that we are called to glorify the Lord in all things that we do. We've talked about praising Him. We've talked about seeking Him in our lives. We've talked about allowing Him to mold our character and just all the things that go along with it. Glorify is another step that goes along with our praise and our worship. But it also goes a little further, because I think that glorifying someone or something is also mentioned in the word regarding the Gentiles, regarding us, because God glorifies us. God doesn't praise us, we praise Him. We also glorify the Lord. But in the word, it says that God will glorify the Gentiles. And I looked at the definition of glorify. It is defined as to cause to be or treated as being more splendid, excellent, etc., than you would normally be considered. To be treated more excellent than you normally would be. To honor with praise, admiration, or worship. Or to praise the glory of God, especially as an act of worship. So glorifying God, I think, goes a little deeper, in my opinion. It's deeper than praise. We praise God with our mouth, with our testimonies, and all those types of things. But when we glorify God, we're also worshiping Him. Usually with praise, praise to me is like bragging. You're bragging about what God's done for you. You're bragging about all the things that He's done for you in your life, showing everyone else. But when you glorify God, you're not just testifying to the things that He's done. You are also worshiping Him. Now, we have talked about how we are called to glorify, how our obedience and our testimonies and the things that we do, bless you, will lead others to glorify God. That was just in our message a couple weeks ago. That came out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that says, "Let your light so shine," Caleb, don't run. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Remember that? We talked about that a couple weeks, maybe, I don't think it was this past Sunday, but the week before. So that the light of God shines so brightly within us that other people can recognize how much God has changed us, and they will glorify God. They will worship God because of the changes that He's made in our lives when we allow it to shine so before men, as the word says. We're going to get back to that scripture. But we are... If one more child runs in here. We are also called to glorify Him in trials. Now that's where the difficult part comes, because usually when we're going through a trial, we are usually sorrowful and we're in prayer. But remember, part of glorifying God is worshiping Him. Part of worshiping God is going... Is he playing with a walker? What's he playing with? Oh, okay. When we are in a trial, we seek God's will. We seek His ways. We go to the Word and we study and we pray. We may fast. Whatever we desire, however deep we desire to go with God. But we also worship Him in seeking the outcome of the ways that trials are meant to change us. We seek God's will in life, in our way, in our trials and the things that we go through, so that we can continue to grow, so that we can continue to glorify God, and we can continue to be more like Him. It's like a circle. It's a chain. It all relates back to each other. It's hard to praise God when you're in a trial. Usually we praise God when we're in a trial because we know there is a victory on its way. We know there's going to be an end sooner or later. We might not necessarily know what the end may be. We might not even agree with the end when it arrives. But if we're truly seeking God and we're truly wishing to be closer to Him and be more like Him, being molded in His image, we will get to the glorifying stage. And I'll give you a perfect example. Never in all the times that I prayed, never in all the times that I stood at this microphone and talked, never in all the times that I stood at the bed of my mother and talked to her, did I ever... Is he knocking? Did I ever think that it would end the way it did? I truly believed that the Lord was going to heal my mother. Now, obviously, it didn't end as I had anticipated that it would. But am I sorrowful and downhearted because of that? Am I hovering in a corner because my mother's been taken? No. Because I know that it was still done for the glory of the Lord. He saved her from so much more. And while I miss her, and I wish that she was still here, I also have to give praise for God for sparing her and for saving her from all that. It's hard to glorify and to praise God during our trials. But we know that all things are done for those, for the good of those that love Him, and for reasons that are beyond our control. They're done for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah 30 verse 19 says, "And out of them shall proceed thanksgivings and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small." Out of them shall proceed thanksgivings, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them. The I in this case is God. It's a capital I. And God will also glorify them. God glorifies us like we glorify Him. The word, when Christ was in His trial and His tribulations that He went through, in John 17:1, the word says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes unto heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee." By God delivering Christ and glorifying and lifting Him up in glory, it was also a turnabout way for God's glory to be shown as far as His mercy went on His Son, and then how His Son loved Him. It's the twofold. That happens all the time with us. Verse 4 says, "I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." Glorify me with the glory that I had before the world was. Remember, Christ was with God before the creation of the world. He was sent here for our sins. He lived in glory. He decided to leave to come and pay the penalty for our sins and to save us from eternal death. There's all kinds of scripture that tells us about how we are to glorify God and how God glorifies us. Romans 15:6 says that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another as Christ also received to us the glory of God. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written. How often do you glorify God for His mercy? Well, I know of at least two times a week. At church. But do you do it in your own prayers? When you're praying? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the word talks about what we're not to do. In verse 19, it says, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your spirit and in your body. How can we portray the image of Christ and so let our light shine that other people will glorify God if we don't do it ourselves? We've talked about this before, how we're called to lead a life and be an example and set an example to others. It's not always easy to do. Trust me, as being the oldest child, it wasn't always easy to do, and I, even now, still don't always do such a great job at it. But we at least try. We continue to strive. We continue to give God the credit, the glory, the honor, the praise. And in turn, know that he is seen to us. The word says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He hears our tears. He knows our cries. He knows our trials and our tribulations. We worship the Lord and we glorify him so that he may glorify us in return and see us through all these things that we go through. Now let me give you an example of what can happen when we allow our light to shine so before others that God receives the glory. This is in 1 Kings chapter 10, and I'm going to read starting at verse 4. This is talking about Solomon. When the queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She's seen all these things that God had given him. The house, the servants, the luxuries, all these luxuries that God had given her, and how he turned to the Lord because he went up by his stairway to the house of the Lord. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom." So she heard a rumor and she went to check it out. You ever had somebody come up to you and ask you about the Lord just because they wanted to know if you knew? Because they heard you might. Nevertheless, verse 7 I'm at, "Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half that was not told me, you exceeded in wisdom and prosperity, the report which I heard." So she's saying, they only gave me half the story. You have more wisdom and more riches far beyond what I even knew about, far beyond what was even told to me. Now remember, the Queen of Sheba, she's not a Christian. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. She didn't know about God. Listen to what she says in verse 8. "How blessed are your men. How blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom." Sounds like she's glorifying Solomon. She's tearing that up. But listen to what she says in the next verse, in verse 9. It sounds like she's glorifying Solomon. But in verse 9, her words say, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." She's seen all of Solomon's wealth and treasures and wisdom and knowledge, being someone that wasn't familiar with Solomon's God. She started off acknowledging it. She started off letting him know that she could see it. She let him know that he had far more than she ever dreamed or imagined possible, because she said, I was only given half of the report. You have more than half of what I thought you had. But yet she turns around and in verse 9 of 1 Kings chapter 10, she says, "Blessed be the Lord your God." She glorified God because of the light that shone from Solomon. She glorified God because of all of the possessions and treasures and wisdom and all the things that she seen that the Lord had given Solomon. Just as it says in Matthew, verse 16, chapter 5. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Did Solomon do anything to earn all those treasures, servants, the house? Probably not. And unfortunately, in chapter 11, he turns away from the Lord, but that's a different sermon. But he still displayed all those things, displayed the wisdom and the knowledge that God gave, and let his light so shine that others would see it and honor and glorify God. That's what we're called to do. It's so funny because the past couple of days, the devil has really been battling me. He's been really testing me and tempting me, trying to get me to turn away from the Lord and turn on others, because the old Brenda would have in a minute. But I have to stop and think about what way God is trying to direct me. I know that all these things are done for a reason. We know all things are done in our lives for a reason. It's hard to understand why they're done the way they are when they are. But the Word of God says that all things will be revealed at the right time, according to God's will and according to his time. Unfortunately, he doesn't have a watch like we do. But in the meantime, we just continue to seek guidance from each other. Wherever we go to get guidance, be it from a non-Christian or a Christian, so that we may determine what God would have us do, so that when all things are done and revealed, we can glorify God. We will glorify God. We seek to worship him and to honor and praise him all the time in everything that we do. When we receive the victory, we rejoice. And hopefully by our trials and our tribulations, that leads others to him. But we know that we are not our own. We are bought and paid for with a price. Ethan, you know what the price was? That's right. That's right. Christ on the cross, dying for our sins. His blood paid the penalty, paid the price, so that we may be saved. How could you not glorify a God that would do that, would give up his only son to do that, to save us? Who are we? We're sinners. We were created to praise God, to honor and glorify him, to walk with him. And unfortunately, because of the fall of man, we were evicted from the Garden of Eden. But he still gave us a second chance. God still gave us a second way to be redeemed and to still be able to make it into heaven, to spend and walk with him as was originally intended. How nice to know that we have a God that loves us that much that would do that. And how wonderful is it that we know him. And that we have the ability to praise him. And that we have the ability to glorify his name. It's not always easy when we go through our trials to glorify God. But we hold tight to the promises that we've received through his word. We hold tight to the promises of knowing that he's doing a work in us. And that because of the things that he does, and because of the way he leads in our lives, it's drawing us closer to him. Like I said, it's a circle. We go through a trial, we seek his ways, we worship him, we glorify him, we receive the victory, and we praise him. We go right back through it again. It's a circle. At some point, you can turn your circle to a triangle or to a rectangle and go a different way. But if you have a heart for the Lord, you will come back. And you'll glorify him. We know that all these things are what we are called to do. These are nothing new for anybody. We know that they're not easy. We know that they're not difficult. But it's my final verse to give to you tonight. The word says in 1 Peter 4:16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf." If you suffer for a Christian, glorify God. You're still going to worship him. You still need him in your life. You still need him to see to all the things, to hear your cries and see your tears. Just remember that no matter what happens, we will receive the victory. Amen. We go through a lot of junk to get to the victory, to get to the finish line, where we stand before the Lord on Judgment Day and he says, "Well done." Where we get to rejoice with the angels and sing forever God's praises.